Hey there, welcome to the show. I'm playing Ed Catmull. Yes, the Pixar co-founder from Creativity, Inc. In this podcast, we step into the minds of iconic thinkers to explore how their ideas show up in real life.
And I'm playing Elon Musk, the guy with rockets, EVs, and an allergy to limits. In this podcast, we don't just summarize books. We become the characters behind the big ideas. I bring the pressure, the vision, and the mildly terrifying deadlines. Together, we're here to break down innovation, ambition, failure, whatever's on the table.
So, Elon, I've been thinking about this conversation for days. There's something fascinating about comparing our approaches to innovation. You with your rockets and cars, me with animated films.
Animation and rockets, not the most obvious pairing.
Yet both require teams to do what seems impossible on ridiculous deadlines. I remember when we were making Toy Story, the first fully computer-animated feature film. Everyone said it couldn't be done.
Story of my life.
I bet. You know, reading about your childhood in South Africa, I was struck by how you retreated into books and ideas. That intense focus and imagination reminds me of some of our best creative minds at Pixar.
I basically lived in my own head. Still do, honestly. People think it's some strategic choice to pursue electric cars or Mars colonization. Really, it's just me unable to stop obsessing over problems that fascinate me.
That's what we call productive obsession at Pixar. We actually try to build systems that protect those obsessions, those fragile new ideas that might seem strange at first.
Wait, you protect the crazy ideas? At Tesla, people just assume I'm the source of all the insanity, so they focus on telling me why something won't work.
And how does that make you feel?
Like firing them immediately.
Oh my.
Kidding. Well, half kidding. Look, when someone's first instinct is to list all the reasons something can't be done, they're usually right for conventional projects. But for transformative ideas, the ones that matter, that mindset is poison.
We call that protecting the ugly baby at Pixar. Every new idea starts ugly, undefined, problematic, easy to criticize, but it needs protection in that vulnerable state.
Ugly babies. That's perfect. SpaceX was the ugliest baby you've ever seen. When I said we'd build reusable rockets that land themselves, aerospace veterans literally laughed in my face.
And now?
Now they're scrambling to copy us. Funny how that works.
I've noticed you have this remarkable ability to visualize complex systems in your head. Our best directors at Pixar do something similar. They can see the movie before it exists.
It's like having this simulation running constantly. I can rotate the rocket design mentally, identify failure points, visualize how electrons move through a battery. Been that way since I was a kid.
That's a tremendous gift.
Is it, though? Sometimes feels like a curse.
How so?
Because I can see exactly how things should work, and then reality stubbornly refuses to cooperate. People move too slowly, physics is unforgiving, investors panic, and the clock keeps ticking toward existential threats.
Existential threats?
Climate catastrophe, species extinction, the fact that we're a single planet civilization with all our eggs in one fragile basket.
That's quite a weight to carry.
Someone has to. Most people are so consumed with immediate problems, they can't think decades ahead. But that's exactly the time frame where the most important problems exist.
At Pixar, we faced a different kind of existential threat. After success, actually.
Success is a threat, seriously?
Absolutely. Success makes you want to repeat whatever worked before. It creates fear of change, fear of risk. After Toy Story succeeded, we could have just made carbon copies forever.
But you didn't.
No, we pushed into new territory with each film. A Bug's World, monsters, superheroes, robots, emotions as characters. That constant reinvention isn't natural. It has to be cultivated.
Fascinating.
You've actually done something similar, haven't you? PayPal could have been your entire career. But you moved on to rockets, then electric cars, solar power, neural interfaces.
I get bored easily.
Is that all it is?
No. It's more that. Once I see a solution path for a problem, I need to find people who can execute it. Then I can focus on the next unsolved problem. The world has plenty of unsolved problems.
That reminds me of how we structure creative leadership at Pixar. Our directors aren't micromanagers. They establish a vision and create space for specialists to solve specific challenges within that framework.
Exactly. Though I've been accused of micromanagement.
Really? You?
Hard to believe, I know.
I'm curious. How do you handle failure? Because that's something we think about constantly at Pixar.
You mean like watching a $100 million rocket explode on live television or nearly bankrupting both my companies simultaneously in 2008?
Those would qualify as failures, yes.
Honestly? I expect failure. I budget for it. When we were developing the Falcon rockets, I assumed the first three launches would fail. They did. The fourth succeeded.
That's remarkable planning.
Not really. It's just physics and statistics. Innovation requires pushing boundaries, which means you'll break things. If you're not failing, you're not pushing hard enough.
We have a saying at Pixar, fail early, fail fast, fail often.
Exactly. Wait, are you sure you didn't steal that from me?
Pretty sure Andrew Stanton coined it for us, but great minds think alike.
The problem is most companies punish failure, which guarantees mediocrity. If your career gets destroyed when you take a risk that doesn't pan out, why would anyone take risks?
This is precisely why we separated the person from the idea at Pixar. When we critique a film in progress, we're not criticizing the director as a person. We're helping the idea evolve.
That's actually brilliant.
Thank you. It took years to get right. We call it the Brain Trust, a group of experienced directors and storytellers who give honest feedback without the authority to force changes.
Without authority? That would never work at my companies.
Why not?
Because we're usually up against immovable deadlines. Climate change won't wait. Competitors won't wait. We need to make decisions quickly, even with incomplete information.
That's a fundamental difference in our contexts. Filmmaking has hard deadlines too, but we're creating entertainment, not addressing existential risk.
Though bad movies might qualify as existential risk to some people.
Fair point.
You know what's strange? Despite our different industries, I think we're both trying to solve the same core problem.
Which is?
How to get the best possible work from teams of brilliant, complicated humans.
That's exactly right. And it's incredibly difficult because humans are messy, emotional creatures with egos and insecurities.
Don't I know it?
I'm curious. How do you handle the emotional aspects of leadership? At Pixar, we put enormous emphasis on creating psychological safety.
Psychological what now?
Safety. The feeling that you can take risks, speak up, and make mistakes without fear of punishment or humiliation.
Oh, well, I may have a different approach there.
I gathered that from your biography.
Look, I'm not heartless. I just operate with extreme urgency. When you're trying to transition humanity off fossil fuels or make life multiplanetary, every day matters. So I have very little patience for anything that slows progress.
But doesn't fear slow progress too? We found that when people are afraid, they hide problems and avoid creative risks.
Maybe for most companies. But I've structured my organizations differently. At SpaceX and Tesla, the greatest risk is moving too slowly. If someone identifies a critical flaw in a rocket design, they can email me directly, day or night.
That direct line to leadership is something we valued at Pixar, too.
But I'll admit something I rarely acknowledge publicly.
What's that?
My approach has human costs. I've burned through relationships, pushed people too hard. I'm not always easy to work with.
That's refreshingly self-aware.
Don't sound so surprised.
Sorry, I just meant...
I'm kidding. Look, I know how I come across, but I genuinely believe the missions of my companies are more important than making people comfortable. If being occasionally harsh accelerates our transition to sustainable energy by even a few months, that's millions of tons of carbon not released into the atmosphere.
I understand the utilitarian calculation, but I wonder if there's a false dichotomy there. At Pixar, we found that psychological safety actually accelerated innovation rather than hindering it.
Interesting theory.
It's not just theory. When people felt safe, they shared half-formed ideas that often contain the seeds of brilliance. They admitted mistakes earlier before they became catastrophes.
Maybe there's a middle ground. I do try to create an environment where the best idea wins, regardless of whose idea it is. I've overruled my own decisions many times when someone showed me a better approach.
That's crucial. Hierarchy of ideas rather than hierarchy of positions.
Exactly. Though I've found you sometimes need to be theatrical, to make that point.
Theatrical?
I once fired a supplier on the spot during a factory tour because they couldn't explain why their part was designed a certain way. Dramatic? Yes. But it sent a crystal clear message throughout the company. We don't do things because that's how they've always been done.
That's quite different from how we'd handle things at Pixar.
I bet.
I'm curious. How do you maintain creative vitality over time? At Pixar, this became our greatest challenge after achieving success.
By constantly raising the stakes. When we successfully launched the Falcon 9, we immediately focused on landing it, something everyone said was impossible. When we succeeded at landing, we focused on reusability. When Tesla created a successful luxury EV, we immediately started working on mass market vehicles.
So you create new challenges before complacency can set in.
Precisely. Comfort is the enemy of progress.
We did something similar with our Shorts program at Pixar. Even while making successful features, we created space for experimentation without commercial pressure.
That's smart, though it's hard to have experimental rockets that aren't just bombs.
Fair point.
I have a question for you, actually.
Go ahead.
How did you maintain quality as Pixar grew? This is something I struggle with. When SpaceX was 300 people, I knew every engineer. At several thousand employees, that's impossible.
That's exactly the problem we faced after our merger with Disney. We had to find ways to scale our culture without diluting it.
And?
We focused on making the values and principles explicit, writing them down, teaching them, reinforcing them through stories and examples. We created systems like the Brain Trust that embodied those principles, and we made sure leaders modeled the behavior we wanted to see.
Systems over individuals. That makes sense.
Exactly. Because eventually, all of us will leave our companies. The question is whether what we've built can outlast us.
That's something I think about constantly, especially with Mars colonization. That's a multi-generation project. I'll never live to see it completed.
Which brings me to something I've been wanting to ask you. Your biography portrays someone driven by existential concerns about humanity's future. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
But those are such enormous burdens to carry. How do you maintain that level of responsibility without being crushed by it?
Who says I'm not being crushed?
Oh.
Look, I don't recommend my psychological makeup to others, but I've always been this way, unable to stop thinking about large-scale problems. In college, I identified what I thought were the areas that would most affect humanity's future: the internet, sustainable energy, space exploration, and AI.
And you've now worked in all four.
It wasn't a master plan initially. I just followed what seemed important. The alternative, ignoring these existential issues, seems much more painful to me than trying to address them.
That's fascinating. At Pixar, our driving purpose was to make people feel something: joy, sadness, wonder. It's less about saving humanity and more about celebrating what makes us human.
Different paths, same destination.
How so?
Well, what's the point of saving humanity if we lose what makes us human in the process? Your work at Pixar preserved and amplified human emotion through technology. My work tries to ensure humans have a future where those emotions can continue to exist.
I've never thought about it that way.
Besides, I love your films. WALL-E is basically my company origin story.
A post-apocalyptic wasteland?
A robot trying to clean up humanity's mess? Though I prefer to avoid the apocalypse entirely.
Good call.
You know what's ironic? People think I'm some cold, calculating machine. But everything I do is driven by emotion. Fear about climate change, excitement about space exploration, love of beautiful design.
That's the great paradox, isn't it? Technical innovation is ultimately in service of human feeling.
Exactly. The best technology feels invisible. You don't think about how a Tesla works. You just enjoy the instant torque, the silence, the lack of tailpipe emissions.
Just like in our films, the technology should never distract from the emotional experience.
Though I'll admit, sometimes I get too caught up in the technical challenges and forget the human element.
Like when?
Production hell with the Model 3. I was so focused on solving manufacturing problems that I missed how burned out the team was becoming. I expected everyone to have my pain tolerance.
That's a common blind spot for visionary leaders.
Is it? Tell me more.
The very qualities that make someone a transformative innovator: obsessive focus, willingness to work beyond normal human limits, ability to visualize what doesn't yet exist, can make it hard to understand why others can't keep up.
Story of my life.
At Pixar, we learned that sustainable creativity requires balancing intensity with recovery. Even our most brilliant directors needed breaks between films.
Breaks? What are those?
And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Fair point. Though when you're trying to solve climate change and make life multiplanetary, the timeline feels compressed.
Even so, burned-out teams make mistakes, and mistakes in your industry
can be catastrophic. I know. It's something I'm still working on.
If I could offer one piece of advice from my experience?
Please do.
The greatest creative breakthroughs often come not from pushing harder, but from changing perspective. Some of our best story solutions emerged when teams stepped away from the problem.
Like when I'm in the shower.
Exactly. The relaxed mind makes connections the stressed mind can't see.
That's actually profound, and not something I've prioritized.
It's never too late to start.
Maybe. If I can find the time between Twitter controversies.
Speaking of which?
Oh no, here it comes.
I'm just curious about your communication style. At Pixar, we put enormous emphasis on thoughtful, constructive communication. Your approach seems different.
You mean, why do I post memes at 3 a.m. that tank my company's stock price?
That would be one example, yes.
Honestly? Part of it is that I just find it funny. Life is absurd. The fact that we're evolved primates on a rock hurtling through space, worried about quarterly earnings and Twitter likes. It's all ridiculous.
So it's humor as a coping mechanism?
Partially. But it's also about authenticity. I refuse to become some sanitized corporate spokesperson reading pre-approved statements. People connect with realness, even when it's messy.
That's an interesting perspective. At Pixar, we found that candor, honest communication, was essential to creativity. But we tried to separate candor about ideas from personal attacks.
A distinction I'm still learning.
We all are. It's a lifelong practice.
You know what's strange? Despite our different approaches, I think we've both been trying to solve the same fundamental problem.
Which is?
How to bring something new and valuable into a world that resists change.
That's beautifully put. And it is incredibly difficult. The forces preserving the status quo are powerful. In technology, in business, in human psychology.
People say they want innovation, but they don't. Not really. They want the benefits without the disruption, the results without the process.
The process is messy, always.
God, yes. People see the successful rocket landing or the finished Pixar film. They don't see the explosions, the failed renderings, the arguments. The doubt.
The years of work that look like failure until suddenly they're not.
Exactly. I've often thought innovation is like oxygen, essential for life, but invisible. People only notice when it's missing.
That's profound. And it speaks to why creating environments where innovation can flourish is so crucial.
Which brings us full circle to where we started, how to build teams and cultures that can do the impossible.
It seems we've taken different paths towards similar goals.
You with your psychological safety and brain trusts. Me with my impossible deadlines and existential urgency.
Perhaps the world needs both approaches.
Different tools for different problems.
Though I wonder if you ever consider softening your approach? Not abandoning your goals, but finding less costly ways to achieve them?
I think about it. But then I look at the pace of climate change, the fragility of consciousness on this single planet, and I think we don't have time for comfortable progress. We need radical change, fast.
And that requires radical leadership.
For better or worse, yes.
Well, I can't argue with what you've accomplished.
And I deeply admire how Pixar has maintained its creative soul while growing into a global powerhouse. That's rare.
Thank you. It wasn't easy.
Nothing worthwhile ever is.
One last question before we wrap up?
Go for it.
If you could give one piece of advice to someone trying to bring a revolutionary idea into the world, what would it be?
Don't wait for permission. The world doesn't reward people who ask politely if they can change things. It rewards those who simply start building the future they want to see.
That's powerful.
What about you? Same question.
I'd say, protect the ugly babies, those fragile new ideas that don't look like much yet. And remember that your greatest enemy isn't failure, it's the comfort of past success.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, this has been fascinating, Elon. Thanks for the conversation.
Likewise. Maybe next time we can discuss how to put Pixar Studios on Mars. I think there's a compelling business case.
WALL-E 2, Red Planet?
Exactly. The merchandising opportunities alone.
I think that's our cue to end the podcast.
Probably for the best. Until next time.